Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Phil Klein from the Amistad Project joins us about the most interfered with, corrupt election of my lifetime, maybe in American history. We have a lot of discussions about Wisconsin and ballot drop boxes and what the people can do. Very important episode. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Consider this your update on the continuing investigation in the pursuit of justice for the 2020 election. If you want to support our show, you guys can do so at charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support to get behind the work we are doing. charliekirk.com/support. David from New York, thank you. We're building a new studio. Producer Andrew, he's rejoining the muscular class. And thanks to Relief Factor, he's really able to do some amazing things, installing glass, all sorts of stuff. And you guys are helping us build that new studio, helping us expand. And we have some huge announcements. Might not come for a month or two or three, but when we have the announcement for you, you guys are going to be blown away like a tsunami. If you guys want to get behind that, charliekirk.com/support. Really exciting stuff. Heather from Florida, thank you for supporting us. Ken from North Carolina. Lisa from Virginia. All you guys, thank you so much. charliekirk.com/support. Get involved today with Turning Point USA. Start a high school chapter or start a college chapter today. Turning Point USA is the nation's largest educational movement focused on educating the next generation around American values. We want your children to live in a free country, and our generation is willing to do something about it. So if you have a high school kid or a college kid in your life, go to tpusa.com. Or if you're a high school or college student, go right now to tpusa.com. That is your central hub for all things Turning Point USA. Check it out today. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by my friends, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage, 888-888-1172 or andrewandtodd.com. There's a really interesting new snippet from Politico. They do a daily deal called Playbook. Most of it is garbage, to be honest. It's kind of gossip. It is the closest thing that has been created in DC to kind of page six of politics. Not to say that it's poorly sourced, but it's kind of gossipy. It's one-off sources, and people read it like that. But this one was super interesting. It says this, that, and this actually cites a New York Times article from Katie Edmondson. That's a good Swedish name. With the latest state of play, and Sarah Ferris and Marianne Levine and Nancy Vu. My goodness, a lot of authors of that article. Democrats are starting to come to grips with the, quote, looming election reform defeat and, quote, openly grappling with what to tell their voters when they come up short. Frontline House Democrats, eager to boost their prospects in November, are urging their party leadership to break up Build Back Better into a series of votes on popular planks, even if that means giving up one grand bill, even if those bills have no shot of becoming law. But Washington Post's Mariana Sotomayor reports that leadership has been cool to this idea so far, while some frontliners want to focus more on selling the infrastructure law and other accomplishments. Steny Hoyer says, quote, "The tension was surfaced in a meeting earlier this month, and the second highest ranking member of their caucus, Susan Wild from Pennsylvania, says, I don't care, telling Hoyer that House Democrats should spend the year sending bills to the Senate with the hope of bipartisan deals that could be reached on issues important to a broad range of voters. These Democrats are talking more like Japanese kamikaze pilots than politicians. They seem far more focused on trying to run the country into the ground, and it does kind of feel as if they all know, whether they say it out loud or they say it in private or they don't say it at all, that this is the last dance. They know that they're never going to be back in leadership again. Steny Hoyer, not exactly on the front nine. Steny Hoyer is being challenged from every possible direction, from AOC and Ayanna Pressley. And yes, if AOC continues to stay in the House, one day AOC will be in leadership of the House Democrat caucus. However, will they be in the majority or not? We shall see. The Democrats know that they barely squeaked by this last election. They barely squeaked by when it came to mass mail-in voting, when it came to the Center for Technology and Civic Life putting in $400 million into this last election. And House Democrats are basically saying, we know this ship is going down. We know that the Titanic is falling. What are we going to do about it? And the consensus amongst the septuagenarian and octogenarian ruling class of the Democrat Party is, well, we might as well get everything we possibly can get done to help accelerate the destruction of the country. The Democrats, in a lot of different ways, are less interested and less focused on any sort of political consequence. In fact, they're coming into this believing we're going to lose 50 or 60 or 70 seats in the House no matter what. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is forcing votes on Democrats' election reform proposals and the Senate filibuster this week in a move to draw a line between Democrats and Republicans on voting rights, saying, but one that will also shine a spotlight on Democrats' intra-party divisions. Quote, we will be postponing recess so the Senate can vote on voting rights. We will return on Tuesday to take up the House passed message containing voting rights legislation. Quote, members of this chamber were elected to debate and to vote, particularly on issues vital to the beating heart of our democracy as this one. Now, we've said this before. A year ago, anyone that challenged the integrity of our elections, they said it's the most secure, most amazing election in history. Now they're saying our elections are so broken, so racist, we need wide sweeping legislation to try and, quote unquote, fix our democracy. But we know what's really happening here. Going a level deeper, Democrats are increasingly worried without making these short-term COVID election reforms permanent, they may never win another national election. We might be witnessing a political realignment. In fact, it's likely that we are. It could be the death of the Democrat Party for this generation, where AOC, Ayanna Pressley, Cori Bush, they get used to being in the minority like Republicans are used to being in the minority in California. It is more than possible that Democrats lose so horribly coming up in November and the subsequent years that they're going to struggle to get back into power in Congress in the foreseeable future. Now, if Democrats were smart, they would embrace kind of a Matthew McConaughey energy, kind of like do what you want to do with your life and we're not going to tell you what to do. And if you want to get the vaccine, whatever, and we'll give you kind of some universal basic income and we need universal health care. Democrats used to really understand that kind of voter. Barack Obama was an expert in winning over that community of kind of socially liberal, economically moderate. They think the whole system is kind of broken, but don't tell me what to do type of liberal. They've completely disenfranchised that entire community. In fact, now you have people like Joe Rogan, amongst others, that are trending in the not just conservative direction, but the anti-institutional, anti-pharma, people-centered direction. Democrats, we know they're a dumpster fire. But in some ways, we have to wonder, are they saving something for the end? Are they saving something that might surprise us or shock us as we're heading towards this November midterm election? And I've said this for quite some time, that do not underestimate and do not discount the Democrat Party to try to have some sort of surprise as it comes into the midterms. It could be something with Roe versus Wade. It could be a gun rights legislation. It could be a variety of different things. But what's happening right now on Capitol Hill, it seems as if they're attempts to revolutionize and nationalize our voting systems are not just coming up short, they're failing miserably.
Look, as I'm recording this episode right now, I'm using a very important product. Listen carefully. It's called ExpressVPN. They anonymize your data. You can surf the internet freely without wondering who's getting a hold of your search history or viewing habits, or what they will do with that information. Do you want the government to be reading over your shoulder every time you go online? There's never been a more important time to protect your internet activity. That's why I urge you to get ExpressVPN. When you search for something online, watch a video, or click a link, it all gets tracked by big tech companies. They match your activity to your true identity using your device's unique IP address. When I use ExpressVPN, these companies can't see my IP address at all. My identity is anonymized by a secure VPN server, and my data is encrypted for maximum protection. And besides hiding my internet activity, what I like most about ExpressVPN is how easy it is to use. Just download the app on your phone or computer, tap one button, and you're protected. So stop handing over your data willingly. Go to expressvpn.com/Charlie. That's ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Go to expressvpn.com/Charlie right now to learn more.
James Madison famously said, "If men were angels, no government would be necessary." The quote actually continues to say something of the sort that men are not angels, and that's why we must limit government. We have an amazing system, a constitutional republic, recognizes that rights are given to us by God, not from government. It recognizes that in the state of nature, we have the right to privacy, the right to speech, the right to protect ourselves. And the founding fathers, the framers, did an amazing job of creating a contract, a partnership that was unique in its structure that allowed for the separation of powers, checks and balances, that allowed for an independent judiciary. And no place articulates this better than Hillsdale College. I know you love freedom and want to defend that. And I know you love the Constitution, and so do I. And it's the same with Hillsdale College, the best liberal arts college in America. Hillsdale's mission is pursuing truth and defending liberty. It gives undergraduate and graduate students the best education, and it is working to make this education available to all, from offering free online courses to helping support great K through 12 schools. But today I want to tell you about Hillsdale's free monthly speech digest of liberty. It is called In Primus. Over 6 million households and businesses receive In Primus for free each month, and you can join them by subscribing at charlieforhillsdale.com. They also have amazing online courses that I am taking. Tonight, I am finishing the Theology 101, the history of the Western theological tradition. Tonight, and that's a Hillsdale College course. That will be my 12th course I have completed. 15 to go, 27 total courses. There are no strings attached. Generous donors who love freedom make it possible to send In Primus to you for free. In Primus is one of my favorite publications. It is short, smart, useful, and fun. Start receiving your own free copy of this phenomenal digest of liberty. Visit charlieforhillsdale.com. That's charlieforhillsdale.com. Take an online course. Subscribe to In Primus. Portions of the Charlie Kirk Show are brought to you in part by Hillsdale College. Now, one of the promises of the Constitution is to recognize that the states created the federal government. The federal government did not create the states. This is an incredibly important dynamic. Everything the Democrats are trying to do is try to destroy state sovereignty, centralize power. And there's a lot of reasons why this is dangerous and immoral. When you centralize power, you better be right. When you centralize power, there is no room for error. This is why not only is liberty a better moral idea, the pursuit of virtue, but also it allows for customization, individuality. It allows for individuals, for families, for people, for communities to associate the way they see fit. That the people in Manhattan are going to have a lot of different lifestyle choices and demands than the people in Enid, Oklahoma. However, Mayor Bowser, who is the mayor of Washington, D.C., is making a bizarre argument saying that we cannot talk about voting rights without talking about the disenfranchisement of 700,000 taxpaying Americans right here in Washington, D.C. All the racial argument is going to come home to all of a sudden trying to give statehood to Washington, D.C. Now, despite the fact that the Constitution explicitly prohibits Washington, D.C. from becoming a state, Mayor Bowser continues. And I want to say, I have an offer. Mayor Bowser, if you want Washington, D.C. to become a state, I think there's a way that we can help make that happen. I don't think you're going to like it. But let's listen to what she has to say. Play cut 48.
Because we cannot talk about voting rights without talking about the disenfranchisement of 700,000 taxpaying Americans right here in Washington, D.C., a legacy of slavery and Jim Crow America. Today we're talking about the filibuster, but consider this. We wouldn't even be in this situation if Washington, D.C. had two senators, the two senators we deserve. Because you know what? Washington, D.C. stands with the majority of our fellow Americans who are in favor of expanding and protecting the right to vote.
Do you notice they never articulate what expanding the right to vote means? They just mean more mail-in ballots that no one knows where they come from and some sort of unelected board of supervisors. But here, Muriel Bowser, how about this? You get Washington, D.C. as a state and we get Eastern Oregon. New state, Eastern Oregon. How about that? How about this? We break California into five states. You might say that's unprecedented. You ever heard of West Virginia? West Virginia used to be part of Virginia until 1863 when they splintered from Virginia over the cause of slavery. You want D.C.? Then let's add some more states. Look, everyone out there has been asking me, Charlie, how do I get more pillows? Well, that's MyPillow.com. And it's promo code Charlie, actually. It's a great special. And MyPillow doesn't have their box stores anymore, so we got to help them out. And part of them being canceled, they want to give you the lowest price yet. So you can get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard MyPillow regularly, $69.98. Now only $19.98 with the promo code. They also have queen size, regularly $79.98 and $24.98 with a promo code. Or king size, usually $89.98, only $29.98 with your promo code. MyPillow is not just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to new beds. The promo code Kirk also works on my store and frankspeech.com. Go to mypillow.com or call 800-875-0425 and use promo code Kirk to take advantage of Mike's special offer on his standard MyPillow. That's mypillow.com, promo code Kirk, or call 800-875-0425. Mypillow.com, promo code Kirk. Mypillow.com, promo code Kirk. They say Rock Chalk Jayhawk KU. And with that, we have the former Attorney General of Kansas and someone who does a wonderful job. And he has been hot on the case. I have a story here from the Federalist. Wisconsin judge bans ballot drop boxes, says election officials broke the law. With us is Phil Klein from the Amistad Project. Phil, welcome back to our program. Phil, I want to compliment you. You have been on the case since the day after the election in 2020. You have been covering this. You have been unafraid to tell the truth about every single one of the dynamics surrounding this. So I just want to compliment you and congratulate you because you talked about for quite some time there was some action that was going to happen in Wisconsin. Tell us the latest from Wisconsin.
Thank you, Charlie, and thank you for all that you do. Wisconsin and the decision of the court confirms what we've been saying for some time now, and that is that private monies of leftist interests hijacked government campaign offices to get government involved in partisan efforts to benefit Mr. Biden. And they did that by violating the laws. Unilateral decisions, and here in Wisconsin, it was at the behest of the left-leaning Wisconsin Election Commission, who worked with Zuckerberg and all these private interests and all these nonprofits to inject efforts for the government office to target Biden voters in the Democratic urban core and turn out those voters. And it didn't just happen in Wisconsin. It happened in Michigan, in Georgia, in Pennsylvania, and all the swing states. And the drop boxes, the judge says, were illegal in Wisconsin. But guess what? Zuckerberg money and leftist money put drop boxes illegally in the urban core. So in these Democrat strongholds, you can hardly walk down the street without voting. Meanwhile, through leftist governors and others in these swing states, they were making it harder to vote in person and harder to vote in Republican strongholds or rural areas by shutting down in-person polling places claiming COVID. So the government got involved in the Biden campaign in 2020, and they're planning to do it again.
So, Phil, I have so many questions about this, and I want to just congratulate you and compliment you. You've been unafraid on this topic. You have really went all in, and you've decided not to let this go, and you deserve to be really thanked for that. So my first question is, how is it possible that during the 2020 election, let's say August, September, and October of 2020, the Republican Party or the Trump campaign or any of the Senate campaigns that were going on, why was there no legal activity or challenging what now judges are admitting is illegal? I mean, according to this story right here, it says Waukesha County Circuit Court Judge Michael Bowron determined, quote, there is no statutory authority to allow for either practice of ballot drop boxes. Why is it, Phil, that in January of 2020, we have to get a ruling on this? Why couldn't we get it in October of 2020? I'm sorry, 2022. Why couldn't we get it in October 2020?
Well, the party and the campaign were caught flat-footed. And there's a couple of reasons why. One is the unprecedented nature of this structure. But they shouldn't have been caught flat-footed. And the real weakness here, Charlie, is state legislatures. All around the nation, state legislatures who have the constitutional responsibility to determine the time, place, manner of elections and the manner in which presidential electors are selected for the Electoral College have delegated all their authority to the executive branch of government, which is under the direction of the governor or and or the secretary of state. And they, in turn, have delegated all that authority down to local election officials and have set up a process where whatever the count is, it is verified. In other words, nobody's really checking the election and how it's managed. There's not a structure for that. And in fact, the legislature, which has the authority in most of these states, doesn't even meet between Election Day and the certification of election. So what we've done is we've separated political responsibility, which is in the legislature, from political actual authority, which is now at local officials that nobody knows, from political accountability. And when you do that, you always get bad government. I spoke with more legislators over the past couple of years who don't know their own authority, don't know their own responsibility than I ever have or anticipated I would in my entire life. We don't have anybody minding the shop. And the courts are reluctant to get involved in reversing elections. And that is understandable. You can understand the problem that you might face if the American people believe the popular vote was overturned by a group of unelected, unaccountable, appointed for life judges. So essentially what the Supreme Court is saying is, one, it's very, very rare for us to get involved. And it's hard to be able to prove sufficient evidence to get involved between Election Day and the day that elections are certified. And the responsibility is with state legislators. That's who needs to do this. And we're still not doing it. We still haven't passed the laws we need. We still haven't gotten them engaged in the management of elections in the way that we need to. So that was kind of lengthy, but in the short explanation, our leaders in this nation like the ability to claim credit and cast blame. And so we've set up systems where we can blame somebody else for the problem without having to take the responsibility for it, and we can take credit for it. And that's what we've done with elections. We've given the authority to people who have no political accountability.
In Cut 44, I want to play some tape of you talking to the Wisconsin legislature in December of 2020. Let's play Cut 44.
With a launch of litigation primarily initiated by organizations tied to the left to eviscerate protections of the absentee ballot and its integrity. They attacked witness requirements. They attacked even delivering the election or the ballot to the clerk. They claimed that drop boxes were mandated by the Constitution. And soon afterwards, in March of 2020, a man by the name of David Plouffe published a book called The Citizen's Guide for Defeating Donald Trump. That guide, by the way, and David Plouffe was the former campaign manager of President Obama. At the time, he was working for Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, Priscilla Chan. And in that book, he said that this election will be determined by a block-by-block street fight to turn out the vote in Detroit, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia.
And so this was back in December of 2020. I want to read in part from this Federalist article. In Wisconsin, the law states that no person can, quote, receive a ballot from or give a ballot to another person other than the election official in charge. Despite this, the Wisconsin Election Commission sent a memo to clerks, municipal clerks ahead of the election saying, quote, a family member or another person may also return the ballot on behalf of a voter. That sure looks like an illegally conducted election, Phil. And you're right. The state legislatures, they typically don't do their job. We're trying to push for them to do their job and try to make the kind of get them into gear. What needs to be done now?
Well, we need to pass legislation that requires a standing committee of the legislature with equal membership of both parties that is charged with the responsibility of reviewing the election process and making a recommendation as to whether the election should be certified and identifying any violations of law or statute. They should meet in public. And one of the keys to a successful election is transparency. And 2020 was the least transparent election in United States history because America was kicked out of the counting room and a billionaire invited in, or multiple billionaires invited in. So the legislature needs to get engaged. And the other thing here, Charlie, that is real important, and it's more of a cultural issue, something that you address all the time, and it is our deconstruction of truth. And in that testimony before the legislature, right before it, I heard an election clerk testify, a leftist election clerk. And he said, the reason we have drop boxes is because the law is vague. You look at the language of the law and it says the ballot must be delivered to the clerk. Well, what is a clerk? Is it the assistant clerk? Is it an employee? Is it the spouse of the clerk? And I responded to that deconstruction of language by saying it clearly is not an inanimate object or a drop box that is unsupervised. The language is clear. What is happening in this country is when you deconstruct language, you are lawless. America is a nation of laws, but we're one of the most lawless nations in elections on the face of the earth now because we've deconstructed the meaning of language to the point that you can manipulate the words and use the law to do what you want rather than seeing the law as a prescription against what you cannot do. So, this deconstruction of culture, deconstruction of words, the elimination of truth, and you know this, you've spoken to this often, leads us at a place where it's just might makes right. Whoever has authority can make the rules, however they want to make the rules. So that's happening. You see that in a broad swath of how the Biden administration is approaching every issue. They are violating the Constitution. They are targeting their political enemies and weaponizing the institutions of government to punish their political enemies. And this stuff we have to stop. Both sides have to stop doing that. We have to get back to the truth. We have to get it back to a clear understanding of the language that we use and the purpose of government being to respect individual liberty and see the intrinsic value of every human being. And if we don't get there, we're in a circular firing squad right now in this country. We're just shooting at one another. And there's no meaningful leadership to bring about change.
It would always come back down to power. You bring up a great point. Our audience is super smart. I'm sure a lot of people right now are now connecting the dots, and they are connected. And you're not allowed to say this out loud. But as soon as you have a 14-year-old that's told that there's no difference between a man and a woman, then what's a clerk? What's a vote? Just define it as you want. You could be trans election, yeah. Like just whatever you want.
And a human being is to be valued 1 second after it leaves the birth canal, but could be destroyed for any reason right prior. This moral relativism destroys the rule of law, and it all becomes about power.
Can't possibly think of a better way to word that.
Hillsdale College wishes to thank you for standing with them as they celebrate over 177 years of blessings. Since 1844, the Beacon of the North, the last college, Hillsdale College, has held fast to its mission to provide the kind of education essential to preserving free government. And for decades, the college has extended its educational mission on behalf of liberty through a variety of outreach programs. Perhaps you receive In Primus for every month, or have taken one of Hillsdale's excellent online courses, or attended one of Hillsdale's free regional events. You know of Hillsdale's refusal to take even one penny of government money. This independence allows the college to focus on promoting its core purpose, learning, character, faith, and freedom without government interference. And no time in our nation's history has there been a greater need for this kind of classical liberal arts education that Hillsdale offers on its campuses and nationwide. So during this season of blessings, Hillsdale thanks you for partnership in extending its mission to the country. To learn more about Hillsdale College and take their online courses, the Aristotle course, the Winston Churchill course, the Dying Citizen course, which I'm about to wrap up with Victor Davis Hanson. It's incredible. Check it out. New Victor Davis Hanson course. Go to charlieforhillsdale.com. Courses to learn about Western civilization, learn about God, learn about Genesis, the book of Genesis, the Constitution, and more. charlieforhillsdale.com. charlieforhillsdale.com. Phil, are you optimistic or pessimistic that coming into November, we are not going to have a repeat? What is to prevent Zuckerberg or Bezos or any one of these kleptocrats to come in with $400 million and do what they did in 2020 in the 2022 midterms?
I'm pessimistic right now, Charlie. The laws that have been passed are putting the finger in the dike and not engaged in the fundamental structural reform we need to make sure we have transparent, inclusive, and accountable elections. Just one example. Georgia claims they banned private money in elections. They did not. What they did is say, you can't use private money unless it's appropriated by a city, a county, or the state. Well, that's exactly what Zuckerberg and the left did with their nonprofit money. They gave it to cities who don't even have the responsibility of managing the election, but were leftists and in Democrat strongholds, and those cities appropriated the money. So a lot of people are taking credit for changing things. Things have not been changed. There's a lot of work to do. And the American Voters Alliance, which is affiliated with us, and it's the Amistad Project, Charlie, and American Voters Alliance, which is engaged in this. And we've got policy proposals, best practices that we hope will be adopted. And so I'd encourage your listeners and viewers to go to the AmericanVotersAlliance.org and sign up and get involved. And we're going to be announcing the reform package here pretty soon. But right now, we're not ready. And it's not just Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg was only a funder, and he wasn't even the largest funder of the effort. We've tracked over $1.7 billion of services and monies that were moved through leftist nonprofits that dictated the way the election would be run to benefit a candidate. And they're geared up again. They're getting ready to do it again.
$1.7 billion. You think that should kind of pique the curiosity of the Washington Post? One would think you're pessimistic about this fight. It's incredibly important. This is the destruction of state-based elections. This is the intentional deconstruction of language and of how we appropriate political power. What can people do?
Well, people need to sign up and be educated. And at the American Voters Alliance, we will help inform you, we will help engage you, and we will teach you the language to use to try to have an impact at the local level. I believe that conservatism generally wins at the local level. We have an intuition in our heart. It's written upon our heart what fairness means, that elections ought to have everybody in the counting room making sure that things are operated quickly, that in elections across the state, every voter and every ballot should be treated the same. Those are intuitive. It's just at the leadership level where it's about power that we lose those things. So if we break it down at the local level and you get engaged, you learn what is a key to an election that respects every valid vote and every valid voter, then you can make a difference at the local level, at the state level. We have to stop nationalizing all these issues, which the Democrats are trying to do right now with the passage of their voter rights bill, which is nothing but really taking what they did that was unlawful and improper in 2020 and codifying it into federal law and then shoving it down the state's throats. We need to get involved at the state level. And conservative politics ought to be about local control in every issue, pretty much, except equal treatment ought to be across the nation. Education is where a parent, a teacher, and a child interact, not in Washington, D.C. Elections are run at the local level, and they need to treat every voter and ballot equally. Funds are best spent at the local level where people experience the problems and can identify solutions. That's where we need to go philosophically, consistently, and I encourage you to sign up at AmericaVotersAlliance.org and stay informed by listening and watching your show.
Thank you, Phil, so much, and keep the pressure on. We have to. We have no choice. Our entire republic is at stake. Thank you so much, Phil. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.